May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our God, our strength and redeemer. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. As Paul begins his letter, as he relates his prayer for the Ephesians, it isn't them in the center, is it? No, it's God. Although it isn't clear from English translations, the Greek text of Ephesians 1:3-14 is made up of one very long run-on sentence. Paul started this sentence in verse 3 with the phrase, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Then he proceeds to tell us what God has done. He does not stop to take breath, but continues on until the end of verse 14. He cannot stop talking about God. He speaks of all three members of the Godhead: the Father, who planned our salvation from eternity past; the Son, who accomplished our salvation on the cross; and the Spirit, who signed, sealed, and delivered us in our new relationship. The language of blessing and assurance just bubbles up from these verses. This God he describes is the sovereign God of history, the center of everything that happens, the God who has set an eternal plan in place to be fulfilled when the time is right, who has sent his only Son, Jesus Christ, to bring about the fulfillment of that plan. And as part of that plan, he's chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world. He's revealed himself to us. He's adopted us as his children. He's redeemed us through Jesus' death on the cross. Everything we've experienced as a Christian is the result of God's sovereign actions in history. Reading ahead in verse 17, Paul prays that they might know this God better. I pray that the God of our Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him. How well do we know God? How well do we need to know him? The fact is that the more we know God, the more we will feel the need to know him better. As we get to know God better, we will know and understand what things we ought to do, and also may have the grace and power faithfully to accomplish them, as our collect explains so beautifully puts it. The opening words of this collect, "O Lord, mercifully receive the prayers of your people," make us realize that we have been given a great gift. As with many gifts, it is easy to take it for granted, easy to assume that it has always been ours. But it has not, at least in the form we now have it. The name of that gift is that part of our prayer book we call the prayers of the people. Each one of these six forms of prayer help us move from an all-encompassing, universal beginning to the intimacy of personal life. We pray to God for the peace of the world, and we pray for all who govern and hold authority in the nations, or for our reverence for the earth as your own creation. Then we pray for all those whose lives are closely linked with ours, the poor, the persecuted, the sick. The prayers then reach into our personal lives with the special needs and concerns of this congregation, when everyone present who wishes to names those who are on their minds and hearts at that moment. We mention both the living and the dead, transcending both time and space. We lift up both the world and the minute particularities of life and personal petitions. Why then do we offer these or any other prayers? It is so that we may know and understand what things we ought to do. The primary prayer of a Christian is to know the will of God in all things. The question of how we can know the will of God is a very mysterious business. There are occasions when people have received seemingly direct guidance and will speak of hearing a voice inside themselves. But for the most part, the Christian's experience speaks of a sense of overall rightness, about a decision made, about a course of action carried out. Even then, it may not be for some time that we recognize the spiritual direction we have received. What is also important over all of life. When we pray to know the will of God, so that we may do it, we need to realize that we are praying about every facet of our daily experience. This is what the prayers of the people help us to do. We pray to discern the will of God in everything, in our personal lives, in our relationships with others, in our professional and public lives, in our participation in and understanding of social and political affairs. A Christian cannot be too aware that nothing less than all aspects of human activity involve the knowing and doing the will of God. It is quite impossible to know the will of God in all the specifics of human experience. There will be certainly be moments in a life, when we are aware of a strong sense of being guided. But Christian life is to be lived in the belief that the totality of life, all of life, is never beyond God's loving purpose. Through our living it from day to day, we encounter many things that are not themselves in the will of God. That is why the prayer wisely adds to our first request that we may know, and a second, that we may understand. But prayer is not merely a request for information or for knowledge or even for wisdom. We can have access to all possible information. We can have great knowledge and deep wisdom. But the trap is that we can come to regard knowledge or wisdom as the highest spiritual gifts without realizing that for Christians, these gifts of knowing must be translated into doing. For a Christian, this is the ultimate challenge to all our claims to be spiritual beings. For a Christian, knowing and doing must be one. Let us pray together again today's college, please. O Lord, mercifully receive the prayers of your people who call upon you, and grant that they may know and understand what things they ought to do, and also may have grace and power faithfully to accomplish them. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.